before I launch into our topic, I found something funny. It's especially important to loosen up the Spanish Fork crowd, I found. A young executive was leaving the office late one evening when he found the CEO of the whole company standing in front of a shredding machine with a piece of paper in his hand. "Listen," said the CEO, "this is a very sensitive and important document here, and my secretary has gone home for the night. Can you make this thing work?" "Certainly," said the young executive, eager to be perceived as helpful. He turned the machine on, inserted the paper, and pressed the start button. "Excellent, excellent," said the CEO as his paper disappeared inside the machine. "I just need one copy." Our topic today is let blessings flow through you. We can all tell stories about how God healed us from a sickness, helped us pass a difficult course at BYU or UVU, freed us from an addiction, consoled us after the loss of a loved one. There have been times when we didn't think that we could go on. The addiction was so strong, the loss too great, the course too hard. At what point we needed a boost. We needed a favor. We needed extra strength. We didn't see how we could do it on our own. God gave us a way out when we didn't see a way. We are so grateful that he brought us out. We know that was his goodness. With his help, we scaled the height, overcame the obstacle. Our message today is that having reached the top of our challenge, we now have to take it one step further and reach back to help another out who's challenged in that same area. You've been healed, now go help somebody else get healed. You broke the addiction, now go help somebody else come free. You've passed a course in school, help somebody else pass that same course. Krishna didn't heal you. Krishna is our name for God. Just so you could be healed. Of course, that's one of the reasons, but it's not the only reason. He didn't bless you just so you could be blessed. He blessed you so you could become a blessing. When God thinks of blessing, he doesn't put a period at the end of the sentence. He puts a comma. God favors you so that you can show other people favor. He brought you through the loss so that you could then bring someone else through the loss. It's not enough to bask in what God has done for you, to thank him for his goodness. That's fine. But now you have a responsibility to help someone in that same situation. You're no longer the dependent. You've become now qualified to be the provider. You were a child. Now you can become the parent. You were the patient. Now you can become the doctor. Here's a quote. I don't know who said it. "The most beautiful people we have known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and deep loving concern. Beautiful people do not just happen." We get high philosophical understanding that death is not the end. The soul, the living force within the body, just as it has passed through multiple bodies in this life, from boyhood to youth and into old age, similarly will pass into another body at the time of death. And the self-realized soul, the sober soul, is not bewildered by such a change. That's all given to us philosophically. The soul is eternal, and matter was never alive in the first place. Matter in itself by nature is dead and inert. Knowing that and experiencing the loss of a loved one, they're not exactly the same thing. The experience of losing a loved one is a difficult test that every one of us are going to have to pass down the line. A wise person said, "The lotus," there's one right there underneath the rug, and another one in the medallion of the chandelier, "is the most beautiful flower whose petals open one by one. But it will only grow," and this is important, "in the mud. In order to grow and to gain wisdom, first you must have the mud," which means the obstacle of life and its suffering. The mud speaks of the common ground that humans share, no matter what our stations in life, whether we have it all, whether we were born with a silver spoon in our mouth, or whether we were born in the inner city ghetto, we face the same obstacles: sadness, loss, illness, dying, and death. If we're to strive as human beings to gain more wisdom, more kindness, and more compassion, we must have the intention to grow as the lotus flower and open each one of our petals, one by one. Story goes that one night, while conducting an evangelist meeting in the Salvation Army Citadel in Chicago, Booth Tucker preached on the sympathy of God. After his message, a man approached him and said, "If your wife had just died, like mine has, and your babies were crying for their mother, you wouldn't be saying what you said tonight." Tragically, a few days later, Tucker's wife was killed in a train wreck. Her body was brought to Chicago and carried to the same citadel for the funeral. After the service, the bereaved preacher looked down into the silent face of his wife and then turned to the congregation. He said, "The other day, a man told me I wouldn't speak of the sympathy of God if my wife had just died. If that man is here, I want to tell him that God is sufficient. My heart is broken, but it has a song put in there by the Lord." He says, "I want that man to know that God speaks comfort to me today." Some things you can't fully understand by taking a course or reading a book. But when you've been through the pain, through the loss, through the struggle, then that experience gives you a unique perspective that others cannot fully appreciate. So far in my life, I haven't been through chemotherapy. I didn't have an abusive childhood. I've not been through a divorce or had an addiction. I don't know what it's like. I haven't been there. If you're struggling in that area, I can encourage you. I can cheer you on. But when you've been through something, when you've been through cancer treatment, when you've been through a loss, when you've been through divorce, a rough childhood, in one sense, you've been given a gift. You are uniquely qualified to help someone else in that same area. Joel Osteen said, "Being successful doesn't necessarily make you great. What makes you great is when you reach back and help somebody else become great." You know what it's like. The pain, the discouragement, the battles they fight in their mind. You can help them in a way that others can't. Krishna's brought you through. Now reach back and bring someone else along. If you're grateful to him for what he's done for you, show that gratitude by being a catalyst for somebody else. If you owe him for making you free and clear, repay him by passing along his grace. Your encouragement carries more weight. You're speaking from experience. You've been there. We all have something to give because we've all been through things. Doesn't have to be something big and tragic. You made it through a tough course in college. Someone tutored you. You prayed and studied and passed your exam. Now, maybe you have a friend in that same situation. They don't understand the course material. They're stressed. They're struggling. You're no longer the student. Now you have an opportunity to be the tutor. Krishna brought you out, not just for your own sake, but he brought you out so that you could shine. He brought you out so that you could help then somebody else shine. Take time to mentor them. Send them your notes. Give them your tips. Send them encouraging texts. Do what you can to help them pass. Every one of us has had experiences that qualify us to be a guide in some area. I know what it's like to start a church in an area that's 90% another religion. I know what it's like to be broke and be tens of thousands of dollars in debt. I know what it's like to have people come against me and try to talk me out of my dreams. I know what it's like to have critics and detractors. I know what it's like to be overworked and understaffed. I know what it's like to dream the impossible dream. Krishna taught me through trial and error how to organize festivals, how to MC a special event, how to do public speaking. The lessons weren't always easy. Sometimes I fell on my face. Sometimes I embarrassed myself. But through them, he gave me vision to see things that others don't see. He gave me strength to push against the odds. He gave me confidence to step out in faith and create new things, new temples, new ministries, new festivals. He made my wife and I successful in Utah when every expert said there isn't a chance. I recognize Krishna's goodness in my life, but I don't want to leave it there. I don't want to just be grateful to Him for my personal success. I want to go from being the child to being the parent, from being the student to the teacher, from the patient to the doctor. There's nothing I'd like more to do than to pass on what I know to a younger person who can carry this legacy and the Salt Lake City legacy on for another 50 years. I don't want this momentum to pass away with me and my wife. My strongest desire at this stage of my life is not to have recognition, not to have acclaim, not to have personal success. I just want what we started here to go on, to pass the baton on to a younger person who's on fire, who has 50 years ahead of them. We were at our world headquarters in 1977 in Bengal, Mayapur. We meet there for a convention every March. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, was there. This was March. He was to pass away November of that same year, so he was already in failing health. There were about 700 disciples in their 20s. He was talking about something, I don't remember what it was exactly, but all of a sudden he broke off the topic. He looked out over 700 young people. He started crying. He said, "I'm an old man." He said, "I could go at any time. But each one of you has 50 years of preaching ahead of you." It was bittersweet. He'd created the seeds of a worldwide spiritual revolution. There are now 800 Hare Krishna temples all over the world. And he knew that he was going to be leaving soon. And that was bitter, but so sweet to see 720-year-olds, each one with 50 years ahead of him. Anybody can do the math? There's nothing I like more than when young devotees call me and my wife up. They ask about organizing festivals, about building temples, about preparing Sunday talks. I'll stop whatever I'm doing to talk to them, to try to fill them with confidence, share my tips with them. Nothing I could be doing at this stage of my life is more important than equipping a young person for the next 50 years of his ministry. God said, "I shall bless you, and then you will be a blessing." The reverse side of that is that if you have no intention of being a blessing, then God's not going to give you the blessing in the first place. The two are tied together. Krishna is saying, "I'll heal you if you'll become a healer. I'll free you if you'll help someone else break that addiction. I will help you build a new temple if you'll help others build their temples and establish their churches. I will make your festivals successful if you advise others how to do successful events. I will fulfill your dreams if you'll help others accomplish their dreams." He's saying, "I'll promote you from being a patient. You'll become a doctor." It's not only about being good to others, but the way that you're going to keep your blessings is by being a blessing. The law of karma says, give and it will be given to you. If you're not giving away what Krishna or God has given you, then that blessing will not continue in your life. If you're not letting the blessing flow through you, then those blessings are going to get jammed up. Krishna freed you from that addiction, and if you want to stay free, then go help somebody else become free. Keep giving away what God has given you. Here's a story. If there was ever such a thing as instant karma, this is it. A weird noise from their car forced Sarah Berg and her cousin, Lisa Meyer, to pull over on the highway. Their car had a flat tire, and neither one of them knew how to fix it. Seeing the woman in need, Victor Geisbrecht pulled over and helped them get back on the road, saying, "Someone above put me in the right place at the right time." Minutes later, the woman would get to return the favor. They saw Geisbrecht's car on the side of the road just a couple of miles further down. They drove over to see what was wrong. Geisbrecht's wife waved them over, frantically saying he'd had a heart attack. He had no pulse and wasn't breathing. Berg, who happened to be a certified nurse, performed CPR while Meyer called 911. Thanks to their help, Geisbrecht survived. If you're mindful of what Krishna God has given you, then you're going to be looking for people that you can lift up. You're going to be looking for people that you can speak light to their darkness, healing to their brokenness, freedom to their log jams. At one point, we needed healing. Now we're the healer. At one point, we needed encouragement. Now we're the encourager. At one point, we needed a miracle, and now you can be somebody else's miracle. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Evam Pravartitam Chakram. Chakra means a circle. What goes around comes around. What you give, you're going to get. You encourage someone when they need it, and when you need encouragement, someone will be there for you by God's arrangement. All we have to do is not settle into gratitude and contentment. Yeah, you might have a good job, good wife, good kids, but if you stay there in gratitude alone without giving on what Krishna gave you, that's going to cause you to get stagnant. Nothing new is going to come to you. Another story, Sharon Manner's youngest child, Carrie, was diagnosed with autism. The young woman went through a gamut of ups and downs, trying to figure out how to best help her daughter. Now, Sharon was a yogi. She instinctively knew that her teachers and her practices would help to support her in this difficult time. At one point, Carrie was in the hospital and taking several medications. Her mother said, "I don't want that for her." Her mother created for Carrie a series of calming yoga sequences. She cooked a sattvic, which means a mode of goodness, vegetarian diet that eliminated stimulating foods, all aimed at getting Carrie grounded and self-regulated so that when overstimulation did occur, she would be able to handle it. Her mother's efforts paid off. Carrie started navigating the highs and lows of her autism symptoms more easily. When Manner told her yoga teacher about this success, the teacher helped her develop a program to bring her yoga-inspired regime to other schools and facilities for kids with autism. In 2010, she founded Ashrams for Autism, implementing her programs in New York area schools. And she says, "Our ultimate goal is to build ashram-inspired spaces where students and young adults can live after the age out of their autism programs." And she says, "The happiness this program brings to everyone who works here is undeniable. We bring these children yoga, and what's reflected back to us is pure consciousness and love. It's beautiful." Our question today is, can Krishna trust you to take the knowledge, to take the skills, to take the restoration, the freedom he's given you, and pass it on? For Prahlad Maharaj, we read from the scriptures, thousands of years ago, was born as the blessed son of Hiranyakashipu in the lap of luxury. His father was a demoniac king who had conquered all three worlds. His father doted on his only son, who was the heir to a vast kingdom. Hiranyakashipu gave his son Prahlad the best education, the best teachers. There was only one problem. Prahlad did not buy into his father's demoniac way of life. Even within the womb of his mother, while his father had been off conquering, he had been taken to the ashram of a great sage named Narada Muni. Narada Muni spoke to him during the 9 months he was in the womb, the great epic Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad became a pure devotee of the Lord. His constant habit was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. He could have kept it a secret. He could have played his cards close to his chest. He was the only devotee in a whole race of demons. He was only 5 years old, could have kept his head down. He was already saved. He didn't have to worry about others. Eventually, he would become the king, and then he could do what he wanted. But he could not stomach the fact that his father was denying citizens the right to worship Lord Krishna. He spoke up, risked his life that others might be free. He laid his life on the line so people could chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, and worship the Lord. And this is what he said, "I am not at all afraid of material existence. For when I am fully absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, I submerge myself in an ocean of ecstasy. My only concern is for others who are making elaborate plans for Maya Sukhaya, false material happiness. I am simply concerned with love for them. If Prahlad had opted to save his own skin and play it safe, his father might have gone on and on and on without any check, persecuting people, pushing them down. But as soon as Hiranyakashipu arrived at the point where he tried to kill his own son, the Lord appeared as the half-man, half-lion incarnation and made Hiranyakashipu pay for those offenses with his life. And once Prahlad had been through all the attempts to kill him on the part of his father, Krishna put him on the throne so that he could then pass on his blessings as the king, so that he could be an example of stalwart faith to others. His strength, even to this day, inspires us to become men and women of strong, firm faith. Every blessing, every healing, every breakthrough was not designed just for you. It was to strengthen your brothers and sisters. Whatever Krishna has brought you through, whatever situation that Krishna has turned around, whatever he's made happen that you couldn't make happen yourself, that's an opportunity to strengthen someone. Now you might be on the other side. What's your responsibility? What are you to do? Strengthen someone. Strengthen that person who went through a divorce. Strengthen that person who lost a loved one. Strengthen that neighbor who's lonely. Strengthen that young pastor or that young devotee who wants to start a temple. It's true, there are seasons of our lives when we need mentoring, when we ourselves need counseling, when we need someone to encourage us. But once Krishna brings us out, then the first thing we need to do is look for someone else to heal, someone else to bless. I have a story to tell. I have encouragement to give. Krishna gave us this beautiful temple in Spanish Fork, and another one is being constructed in Salt Lake City. Now, where can I find a young devotee who's discouraged, who doesn't think he can ever get his building, his mission going? How can I help to get him where he needs to go? 500 years ago, Krishna appeared on the earth in his mercy incarnation as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu means the great Lord, the great master, the great healer, the great teacher. He was also known as Patita Pavan, the savior of the most fallen souls. He knew this principle that your messes can become your message. One of the most well-known pastimes of Lord Chaitanya was he searched out the greatest criminals of the day 500 years ago there in Navadvip, West Bengal. They were two brothers named Jagai and Madai. There was not any crime that they had not committed. Everyone for hundreds of miles around knew them as incorrigible drunkards, thieves, rowdies, even murderers. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda specifically targeted these two wrongdoers, converted them to become perfectly well-behaved devotees of the Lord. And after his change of heart, Madai, who had been the strongest and the most vicious, he was the more dominant of the true brothers. He stood by the public well. He said, "Anybody who I have insulted or beaten up or stolen from, please throw a rock at me. I was drunk for 20 years. I don't remember all the people that I offended. But if you're one of them, please throw a rock at me." He issued an open invitation. Nobody took him up on it. They had previously been so scared of his size, his strength, and his viciousness that in those days they dared not offend him or draw his attention. But now that he had miraculously converted to Krishna consciousness, they were even more in awe of him. Thousands of people followed his example. Thousands of people became his followers. Thousands accepted him as his healer, his teacher. His mess had become his message. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself made an epic statement. He said that love of Godhead, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Imagine love of Godhead stored in a warehouse. In India, we call it a godown. The nature of this godown is such, most warehouses, if you take inventory out and ship it, it reduces the original inventory. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this merchandise is different. That when you plunder, you can go in and plunder with trucks and forklifts. You can take out as much love of God as you want and distribute it on the streets of London, Times Square in New York, Westward Village in LA. You can chant and spread and distribute divine prasadam all over the world. He says the interesting characteristic about love of Godhead coming from this warehouse is that the more you distribute, the more it fills up. God himself is saying, pass on. What I give you, pass it on. Then you will have tapped into the secret of unlimited, eternal prosperity, abundance. Literally, for one who follows this principle, the windows of heaven will open for them. And the Bhagavad Gita says, Yaidam paramam goyam, madbhatisyo vidasyati, bhati mai param kripam, mam evasisya samsaya. This is from the mouth of God. For one who makes his life blessed in love of God and passes on that love of God, the Godhead says, no one is more dear to me. And at the end, Krishna assures he will come back to me. It is said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Problem is that sometimes we live ingrown, focused on ourselves. We're thankful, but that's not enough. It's not going to sustain the growth. The real test is, are you strengthening someone? Are you taking the time to encourage people? Are you going out of your way to be good to them? The truth is, none of us got to be where we are on our own. Somebody took the time to teach us, to train us, to encourage us. Somebody believed in us. They took a chance and they gave us that position. They prayed for us. They helped us. Now, why don't we go out and help somebody else? Keep giving away what God is giving us, and it will always come back. Can Krishna trust you with a blessing? Can you take a blessing, pass it on, and be a blessing to someone else? Can he trust you with healing? Will you become a healer? Can he trust you with influence, with new levels, with freedom? Will you let what he gives you flow out to others? I believe you can. You may not realize it, but you are a lifter, a healer, an influencer, an encourager, a blesser. As you strengthen your brothers and sisters, not only are they going to rise higher, but you're going to rise higher. You're going to see new levels of blessing, healing, influence, favor in this life and in the next life. Go back to home, back to Godhead.